Chapter 3. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace.
Happy to be here among my brothers and sisters. As I look out here, you know what I see? I see a whole lot of people with a heart for serving the Lord. You know, I'd be hard-pressed to find one row where there's not someone like I just described. So, I'm proud to serve with you guys, brothers and sisters. Today is going to be a hands-on message. Not so much of a theological message as we do in the early word back there. This is going to be more hands-on. It's a special message today. And as you saw, he had Johnny Cash read the scripture. We're coming in right where Pastor left off in the book of James. I'm honored to be able to do that. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time in your word this morning. We thank you for all the hearts here that are turned toward you. I ask you, Lord, let no flesh interfere with this message, including my own. Help me to bring out only your words, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We thank you for this scripture today. Open hearts, eyes, ears, minds to receive, that they would take this in, carry it out with them, and serve you better, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Not that y'all aren't already very good servants, but we can all grow, can't we? We can all grow. If we're not growing forward, we're going backwards, aren't we? James 3, 13 through 18. Y'all heard Johnny Cash read it. I would do a Johnny Cash impersonation, but it'd come out sounding like Elvis Presley, so I won't try that. If y'all have your Bible, your phone, your wristwatch, go ahead and turn to James chapter 3 and just leave it open to this passage, if you would, 13 through 18. And we're going to be referring back. This is what we're going to call our base passage, and we will look in some other areas today. Let's just read it again to get started. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Blessed are the peacemakers. Amen. As you guys know, this James here is a brother of Jesus. Often you will find his teachings lining up with Jesus. I actually did a comparison study on that one time. So today, this is going to be one of those messages where we take this and we put it in our lives. It sounds cliche, but you're going to see as we get going how this works. Early in my walk, James was a great influence. See, he still is. I shouldn't say. It started early in my walk. How's that? This book here, it really helped change Stephanie in my life. You guys know me. I was almost 40 years old when I came to the Lord. And through Steph, we committed to God. You know, we were baptized in the lake. It was her first time. It was my third time. I had been there before. But life was good now. You know, I was feeling the peace, but I still had this underlying fear, if you want to call it that. You know, things were smoothing out, but I remember thinking, man, I don't want to go back. I don't want to go back to my old life. How am I going to stay here this time? And, you know, I'd been in this place before. It didn't last. We had, you know, got into church two or three times over the years, and then I would fall back. But about 18 years ago, that all quit, amen? So from a recovery group we were part of back then, I knew the answer was a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit residing in me, amen? But I was still in that fear of slipping back into my own life. I didn't know why. I just knew I had to do something about it this time. And, you know, for me, I have to look backwards to go forward. And y'all will see more of what I'm talking about in a minute. I know that doesn't make much sense. But looking back, you know, I see where that fear came from. I see why I was uneasy. I see it now in God's Word. There is no fear in love. We are in 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. That's where I was. You know, I was trying. I was coming to the Lord, but His love wasn't flowing through me fully yet. Right? Do you know what I'm talking about? So, can you see what's happening here? At the time, I had no idea what was going on. But looking back, now I can see where I was in God's Word. Why would I do that? Why would I want to look back and see God's Word in my life? Because then I can better handle the things that come at me. Amen. Once you see God's Word at work in your life and the life of others, and you really take it off the page and you put it into your life, it can change you. It changes you. It changed me. So at that point, I had not been made perfect or complete with God's love flowing through me yet. How many of you have heard hindsight's 20/20? I've heard that all my life. And, you know, in the Word of God, testimony is a very powerful thing, isn't it? Revelation 12:11, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives unto the death. Testimony is powerful. And yes, most of the time, testimony is someone getting up here with a microphone and telling you how bad they were and how good God is. Or maybe just how good God is. That's good testimony too. What I want to talk to you about today is, for me, testimony, or the things that have happened, you know, they're a chance. Sorry, I keep putting my hands in the wrong place, don't I? They are a chance for me to look back closely at a past event, good or bad. You know, either good or bad, and see God's Word in that event. Either my testimony or someone else's, they both work. You know, as long as you can connect with the Word that changed someone's life. Amen? Whether it be yours or someone else's. So once we learn to look at a situation we're facing and find out what God's Word says about it, then we have opportunity to to put God's guidance and direction into life as we face the given situation. Amen? People say, don't live in the past. That's true. We don't need to live with all our shame and guilt and whatever we might have had in the past. They say, don't drag your past around you. No, don't let it pull you backwards. But in the body of Christ, I think we can do better than that. I really do, because we serve a big God. You know, I think that we can use our past to propel us forward. That's what I'm going to talk to you about today. Using our past to move us further and closer to God. Amen? Each individual's walk is different. We know that, right? Each member doing his share in the body. Everybody comes to Christ differently. Everybody's called to do something different. And I had to learn how God's word worked in my life in the past, how he had brought me out of so many situations before I could put it to work in front of me in the present. Are y'all with me on this? The book of James helped me to do that. I was young in the Lord, and somebody told me to read the book of James. And the first thing, you know, you open the book of James and count it all joy, brethren, when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. That's about as far as I got. Who is this guy, and what do I need patience for? But soon I started to learn. I started to learn exactly what James was saying. When you're persecuted, when you got people coming against you, you're probably doing something right. And, you know, the book of James is a practical, a hands-on book. And that's my heart. Since I came to the Lord, I've had a heart for putting this into life and helping other people do the same. So I studied James. I started teaching James. I knew early on I was called to be a teacher. And taught James at my dining room table. And I mean, jail ministry, prison ministry. I've taught it twice here at Generations, I think. James is a part of me and my walk. And back then I started, as I was learning, I started trying to see what God's situation said about each situation I had gone through in the past. Like I said, bad or good. You need to look at both of them. And through that, I began to try and view the world and view life the same way God does. We can look through the lens of his word, can't we? We can see things according to this, according to how God wants us to live. For the plans I have towards you, says the Lord, are plans for peace and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. That's our God. That's our word right there that he wants us to live out. It became so much easier to walk in the word once I started doing that. It really did. It became so much easier. And I started getting that peace that I wasn't going back. And then, you know, Steph and I are certainly not perfect. My wife, who's been by my side for so long. And my family drove out from Burleson. Look at that. Thank y'all. Wave. So, Steph and I have been walking in this for 17, 18 years now. Not perfect at it, but we do our best to live according to this word right here, so much so that I wrote a book on it. And it's based on this passage in James right here. Worldly wisdom versus godly wisdom is the name of this message today. And this book, Life from a Kingdom Perspective, is based pretty much on that. So let's talk about that for a minute. James 3, verse 17 to 18. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. These are all godly characteristics, godly attributes. Look at this. Peaceable, gentle. Is that the way the world works? Is the world peaceable and gentle? It's ridiculous to say that, isn't it? The world is not peaceable and gentle. Is the world, for the most part, willing to yield? Not on a regular basis. We'll say that. Full of mercy and good fruits without partiality. We know that's not our world today, don't we? Without partiality and without hypocrisy. So these two verses, 17 and 18 right here, these are godly characteristics. Can you see how operating in godly wisdom produces a kingdom perspective? When you live according to this godly wisdom, you start seeing things as they were designed to work in the kingdom. Let's look at this other. Yeah, you guessed it. This other one is a worldly perspective, isn't it? James 3, verses 14 through 16. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. Does that sound like our world? It does, doesn't it? Sounds like our world. I don't know how many of you are out in the world daily, but I see this all the time. All the time. Envy, self-seeking. So let's talk about this for a minute. Let's read 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. That word right there, who is wise? That word, I promise this wasn't going to be theological, but maybe a little bit. This word right here comes from the Greek root sophos. It means wise in a most general application. And now in the same verse, look here. Down at the bottom, let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. Meekness is a characteristic of Jesus, isn't it? The meekness of wisdom. That word wisdom right there, it comes from the same Greek root, but it's a little bit different in definition and pronunciation. Sophia. When you look in the Strong's in the Greek dictionary, Sophia literally says wisdom, higher or lower, worldly or spiritual. So what does that mean? It means that we got to figure out what kind of wisdom we're walking in, or we're going to be in trouble, right? Because there's twisted, deceitful wisdom in the world that we need to stay away from. Can you say discernment? We have to be aware of what we're walking in, don't we? And this passage in James, it shows us exactly, it's pretty black and white, literally, and figuratively. I mean, it shows you the worldly attitudes, and then the man or woman who serves God should be walking according to verses 17 and 18. A third form of the word wisdom is sophizo. Same Greek root, real close. The literal definition says to render wise in a sinister form. To render wise in a sinister form. Do we want that in our lives? We have to watch what kind of wisdom we're being led into. what kind of wisdom we're producing, what kind of fruits are coming out of us, right? That's how we tell we're in the right place. And life from a kingdom perspective is about staying out of worldly wisdom and doing our best to live according to godly wisdom. A kingdom perspective sees blessing through service. How about y'all? Y'all see blessing when people serve the Lord, when people step up and help? You know what the world sees? Sucker! He's not even getting paid, and look at all that work they got him doing. Y'all ever heard that attitude? I have. I have more than once. Worldly wisdom is all about building up possessions, money, power, right? Kingdom perspective, godly wisdom is about building up treasure for the next life. Amen? I'm going to tell you a true story. I told you we was going to put word into life, right? I was a mechanic for 24 years, and 20 years in, I gave my life to the Lord. Started serving Him, started walking with Him. So the guys around me, you know, they don't automatically accept right away. And this one particular person, you know, I was in a stall, and he was right beside me for 10 years. And so we worked closely together. And then when this happened, when I gave my life to the Lord, one of the first things that he led me to do was start teaching a jail ministry in Stephenville, Erath County. I would go there on Mondays for about an hour and a half every Monday. And this coworker of mine, he come up to me one day. He said, "How much you get paid for going out there?" How much y'all think I got paid? We're serving the Lord, aren't we? We're serving the Lord. World don't see it that way. He says, "Why do you do it?" He said, "You work as hard as I do." It was hot summertime, you know, in a mechanic shop. He said, "You work 9 hours a day just like I do. Why in the world would you want to get in your car and drive an hour and a half to go out there and help a bunch of guys who don't have enough self-control to stay out of jail? Why would I want to do that?" And I had to think hard because I was pretty green at the time. You know, it makes you think. And the Lord ministered to me all the way to Stephenville that night, didn't he? By the time I got there, I was ready to go. And later on, this coworker of mine, you know, he'd throw a little laugh or a mock here and there. And about a year and a half after this happened, his mom died. Who do you think he came and talked to? That's how it is, isn't it? Think about that. Even when people mock you, laugh at you, scorn you, the seeds are still planted. Right? The seeds are still planted. And they will come to fruition in due season. Amen? When you live life from a kingdom perspective, when you live according to godly wisdom, the world's going to take notice because we're different. How about you guys? Are you different? You get out there in the world and you can start to see it, can't you? People take notice, either good or bad. They can't help it. They take notice. Jesus was our example, wasn't he? Let's look at John chapter 7. We're going to look at verses 1 through 7. Today we're going to take this passage in the context of the message. And we're going to look at it that way today. John 7 verse 1 through 7 says, "After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he did not want to walk in Judea, because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. His brothers," Jesus' brothers, "therefore said to him, 'Depart from here and go into Judea, that your disciples also may see the works that you are doing. For no one does anything in secret while he himself seeks to be known openly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world. For even his brothers did not believe in him. Did y'all catch that? For even his brothers do not believe in him. We're talking about one of his brothers right here today in James, aren't we? Verse 6, then Jesus said to them, my time has not yet come, but your time is always ready. Verse 7, the world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify that its works are evil. Let's look at this, like I said, in context. Verse 1 and verse 2, it tells us that the Jews are trying to kill Jesus. It tells us that the Feast of Tabernacles is at hand. So what that shows us, this event right here took place about 6 months before the cross. You know, we don't know exact days. But this event where his brothers did not believe in him took place about 6 months before the cross. I want you to think about that for a minute. You know, these brothers of Jesus, they'd been around the Messiah for decades before he even started his public ministry. And even about 2.5 years into his public ministry, at this point, they still did not believe, but it's worse than that. Look close at verse 3 and 4. His brothers therefore said to him, depart from here and go into Judea. Wait a minute. Verse 1 said they're trying to kill him in Judea. So his brothers are telling him to go where they're trying to kill him. That your disciples also may see the works that you're doing. They're accusing him of trying to exalt himself, of trying to be famous. They were mocking him right here. Can you see that? For no one does anything in secret while he himself seeks to be known openly. Is that what they're saying right there? They're talking about Jesus trying to make himself known. They're mocking him right here. If you do these things, show yourself to the world. And then, of course, verse 5, for even his brothers did not believe in him. Did you know that there's a psalm that actually prophesies that Jesus' brothers won't believe in him? It's 69:8, I believe. I have become a stranger to my brothers and an alien to my mother's children. I've become a stranger to my brothers and an alien to my mother's children. That's a direct prophecy that relates right here, doesn't it? Verse 6, then Jesus said to them, my time has not yet come, but your time is always ready. What was he saying right there? Jesus knew that they were going to come to belief. Remember now, Jesus was all man and all God. When he was here on the flesh, he dealt with things like we do. Of course, he was more able to hear the Lord's voice with a sin-free life. Yet we had the same opportunity to let the Lord guide and direct us, right? So he may not have even known how they were going to come to him. Jesus knew that they were going to come to. Jesus knew they were going to come to the Lord. He may not have known at this point that after when he was resurrected, he was going to show himself to James. And that's how the brothers came to believe, isn't it? 6 months here before the cross, the brothers did not believe. And then Paul tells us in Galatians that Jesus showed himself to James, the Lord's brother. You know, it talks about him showing himself to 500 brothers at once and to the apostles. And then he says, and he showed himself to James, the Lord's brother. It makes it sound like it was a one-on-one deal, don't it? Could you imagine that? Being Jesus' brother? And you don't believe in him? And he gets killed. How would you feel? And then one day he comes walking through your wall. Well, I don't know that that happened. That's not in the Bible. But he showed himself to James, and we saw another place where he walked through a wall. So it's not too far-fetched, is it? How would that affect you if you were Jesus' brother? You know, how would that affect you? John 7:7, the world cannot hate you, but it hates me, because I testify of it that its works are evil. That's Jesus talking, of course. Look what this does. Verse 7 confirms verse 5 as if it wasn't clear enough. For even his brothers did not believe in him. That's pretty clear, but look at verse 7. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me. That's telling us that the brothers still belong to the world at that time. Because the world doesn't hate its own, does it? Jesus confirms this truth as he's talking to his disciples. Let's look at the opposite effect. We saw where he's talking to the lost, correct? Now let's look at Luke 21, verse 16 and 17. We're going to flip the perspective here. Now he's going to be talking to his followers. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. Is Jesus talking to us when he says that? Think about this. If you were to read this to someone who's lost, if you were to read this to someone in the world, a worldly perspective looking at this, no way. Why would I want any part of Jesus if he's going to wreck my family and maybe kill me? Why would I want to serve that guy? Can you see that? If you don't know him, you don't know him. That's where you come in. And you. That's what we're here for, isn't it? That's what we're here for, is to help anyone who doesn't know him know him. And we have a short time. A kingdom perspective. Well, how would a kingdom perspective see these verses right here? You know, if I do get killed, I know where I'm going. Preferably not today, Lord. But your will be done ultimately. That's what Jesus said in the garden, wasn't it? If you can take this cup from me, take it. But if not, your will be done. Are we ready for that? Could happen one day, couldn't it? So Jesus' brothers, they mocked him. Jesus tells his followers right here, you will be hated for my name's sake. I showed you one time where I was questioned and mocked at the mechanic shop. So I need to ask y'all a serious question today. How many of you have ever been mocked or scorned or persecuted for being a Christian? A whole lot of people have their hands up. You can put them down. Well, let me ask you this. How many of you have been mocked or scorned or persecuted for being a Christian today? The devil does not take a day off. I need to explain now, don't I? I have a Facebook page called The Teaching Room. And it's mostly Christians on there. But I have to watch that thing every day, because an atheist or an agnostic will come in. And I have to watch those comments. And this morning, when I was going there, you know, I see this nasty comment from this guy. First thing I do when I see that is I go look at their profile. and decide whether I want to block them or whether I want to try to minister to them. So I pop this guy's profile up, and the first thing I see is a George Washington quarter. And it looked just like a George Washington quarter, except right down here in the corner it said, "In science we trust." What does that tell us? Block. That's what it told me. I've had people accuse me of being a cult recruiting site. More than once. Different words, but more than once. The world will come against you, right? The world will come against you. The Bible tells us that. Those of you who had your hands up and you said you have been mocked and scorned, some of you even today, is it worth it? Absolutely. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. That's what kept me from going back, guys. That's what kept me from going back, is serving the Lord. I have to serve. I have to teach, or I have to preach, or I'm not right. His guidance and His direction are priceless to me. I tried it on my own. I tried it by myself. I can't make it work. Everything I try fails. You know, our business. Right when we were coming to the Lord, I'd had a vending business for about 3 years. Had three machines. Weren't doing anything. Was about to lose them, most likely, probably. And Stephanie, I came to the Lord through Stephanie. And we started praying about the business, and we put it in God's hands. And, you know, back in 2019, we had about 135 machines or something like that. And I've sold down now so I could write a book and have more time for ministry. It's a flexible business. You know, when our business finally started doing something? When my perspective changed. You know, I was seeing it as the world sees it. I got to make money. I got to support my wife. We got to pay bills. We had a mountain of debt this high. And we gave it to the Lord. And what I started to see, okay, a worldly perspective, you got to make money. You got to pay bills. You got to take care of yourself and your family. That's a world perspective, isn't it? A kingdom perspective told me that my business must be about the Father's business. You know, I get opportunity to minister to people all the time on my vending stops. Think about it. I mean, I'm down to about 60 machines on 30 locations now. 30 locations with 30 to 150 people at each location. That's a lot of opportunity, isn't it? When my business became about the Father's business, there it went. It's been supporting Stephanie and I since 2010 now, without me having to work for anybody else. Except God. And that's a good thing, working for God, isn't it? So when we serve God with our whole heart, His guidance and direction is working even when we don't know it. You with me? You know, we are serving Him, and He's working things out when we don't see it. Happens all the time. And that's why I like to look back, because you can't see it while you're in it. You understand what I'm saying? When you're going through something, it's hard to see the spiritual realm. A couple months ago, just to give you an idea of how this works, this is a good example, but there's been much larger examples in our life. But this was very recent, and I have permission to use this because some of y'all are going to know this kid. But we were at a men's meeting 2 months ago, maybe, I don't know. We'll say 2 months ago, close enough. And I'm sitting there You know, I walk in the restaurant and I'm down here sitting at this big long table, and there's 10 or 12 guys here. There's some chairs here and some chairs here. And you know, we're all older, I'll say. And then this kid comes walking in, and I had seen him, but I didn't really know him. And he walks past all these empty chairs, and he walks past all these guys. Boom, he sits right down beside me. So you know what that makes me think? What are you up to, Lord? What do you want me to do? Right? Why would he come over there and sit right beside me like that? So I pray, and I'm not really hearing specifics, so you know, I just begin to ask him about his life. You're still in school, right? Yeah, yeah. What do you got planned for after school? And he goes in to tell me that he's going in the military after high school. Reason being, I got in some trouble. I said, okay, sounds like you're working through it. Yeah, I got caught breaking into the vending machine at my high school. Is that our God? Is that our God? How does that happen? How does that happen? It's only God. What the world sees as coincidence, we see as divine intervention. Amen? Is that right? So I start talking to him, and he's telling me about his plans and what he's going to do and everything. And he stops right in mid-sentence. He says, wait. I said, what? He said, do you have vending machines at the high school? I said, no, you're good, man. And I was able to minister to this young man in a way that probably nobody else could. You see that? And we see each other now, and we talk pretty much every time our paths cross. And we have kind of a respect for one another, if that makes sense. You know, God helps our relationships. God has given us the ministry, not that him and I were split up or anything, but God has given us the ministry of reconciliation because he wants us working with other people, working with our brothers and sisters, doesn't he? And after the color came back in his face, he went on talking. And you know, that wasn't my vending machine. But over the 18 years I've been in the vending business, I've had numerous machines broke into. That seems to surprise people. I'm not sure why. Because we live in a sin-filled world, don't we? What it did was open a chance for me to minister to this location or to this particular person. You know, what the world sees, a worldly perspective, sees this as a criminal offense. Kid needs to go to jail. And it is a criminal offense, isn't it? But from a kingdom perspective, we can see the same criminal offense as a chance to minister. Jail and prison ministry is powerful, guys. Yes, I know a lot of those guys get out and go right back to their old ways. But if one doesn't, one soul for his kingdom, is it worth it? I'm not telling you to let people steal from you. I'm telling you to listen to the Lord's guidance and direction. There's times you react differently. The only way you're going to know is stay close to him. Hear his voice. Is that right? When we start trying to do it on our own, it messes up, doesn't it? So the name of this message is Godly Wisdom versus Worldly Wisdom, or Kingdom Perspective versus Worldly Perspective, the way we view things. About 7 years ago, I guess, the Lord led us to leave our last church and come here to Generations. That's kind of scary sometimes. You know, he didn't tell me what was coming. He didn't tell me to come to Generations. We just had to leave our church. Wasn't any big tumult or anything. But it was time to leave. And I mean, we fought it. We kind of kicked and screamed like babies because we liked our church. And I was serving in a large capacity there. But he says it's time to go. So I went. And we started coming here to Generations. And first week I was here, Pastor Allen was teaching. He's a teacher. He teaches good in his sermons. He's been teaching you the book of James, hadn't he? And I started connecting with that, and eventually the Lord said, yeah, you're supposed to be here. You know, I thought I was going to go church shopping, find the best fit. Isn't that what the world does? Let's go see where we like it. But nah, he wouldn't let me even think about doing that. So here I am 7 years later, y'all got to put up with it. The Lord, at that time, we left that church, started coming to Generations. You know, Alan didn't know me from Adam. We have to grow into ministry at a different place, don't we? Alan had to get to know me and stuff like that. The Lord led me at that moment. We had left our other church. We were coming here. I'm not able to minister here yet at that time. And if I'm not ministering, I'm not right. I already told y'all that once. The Lord led us to rent a room for ministry. And he told me 6 months. And I'm like, almost getting a worldly attitude. Well, Lord, this thing's going to grow and we're going to. It's not what he said. He said 6 months. So we did. But I'm going to show y'all something here. You know, we did it without questioning. We knew God was working. We didn't know how. First thing that happened was what I talked about. Pastor Allen, you know, he came and prayed over the room and he got to know me. And by the time that 6 months was up, he brought me in and allowed me to start teaching some little classes, odd times. But it was good. Back in ministry, right? In my home church. So the second thing that happened, do you see how that benefited our ministry? Do you see how that worked for that 6 months? And then the second thing that happened, we had a pretty decent little group coming, I guess, 10 to 15 people on Tuesday nights. And Steph, my wife, had been recording the messages. And we'd get home and I would, view and edit them. And if they were pretty good quality, I'd put them on my Facebook page. And one night we get up there and I'm about to start teaching. She says, I forgot my phone. I really want to record this. I said, well, here you go. So I get done with a message and she walks up to me and hands me my phone back. And I realized that I'd been on Facebook Live. Wow. And I started looking. Three men who I used to run with back in the old days had made comments. What happened to you? I wasn't the man they remembered, was I? The old man was gone, the new man was here, and it caught their attention big time through that. We saw the power in social media, and we hired a girl, and of course we helped her, and we built this Facebook page, The Teaching Room. Today it has about 2,000 followers. And that came to pass because of an accident. Stephanie forgot her phone. What the world sees as an accident or a mistake, a kingdom perspective sees it differently, don't we? We see it as divine intervention. We see it as happening for a reason. And I've just given you two reasons right there, hadn't I? You know, we paid $3,000 for that room, and you're seeing what the Lord's done through it. The world sees that $3,000 I paid as a waste. How do we see it? How does a kingdom perspective see it? We're called to build up treasures in heaven. So if that is exactly right, that $3,000 went from being $3,000, it was going to rust and be stolen by thieves and become corrupt, to investing in kingdom treasure. Amen? So we got that. That's the third thing we saw from it, because we can't take it with us, can we? So we might as well put it to our future. Isn't that right? Doesn't that make sense? We put it to build treasure for the kingdom. Y'all need another one? Pastor Allen called me up, 2020. And I remember his words. He said, "I'm so proud of you." And I'm like, "What did I do?" It's 2020. Church shut down. We can't come to church. He says, "You saw that thing coming. You started the teaching room. We got people at our church watching the teaching room on Facebook because we can't go to church." I could have said, "Yeah, I'm brilliant. I figured that one out." I didn't know a thing about it till he called me. Right? All those things that came to pass wasn't me. It's him working through me. Because I didn't see it. No way I saw COVID coming. Some people say they did. That's fine. I didn't. I didn't see it. But he did. Right? And he knew just what to do with it too, didn't he? Worldly wisdom. You know, he said rent that room and I just did. I didn't know why. I didn't know what was going to happen. How many know sometimes there's blessing in just taking that one step that he tells you to take? You may not know anything else beyond that. It's called faith, isn't it? And I'm not perfect at it, but he has definitely grown me over the years. And, oh yeah, there's one more thing that came from the teaching room. As I was putting this message together, I found a worksheet that I had typed up in 2017 right there in the teaching room. And I found this thing and I pulled it out and it had a date on it, 2017. And at the top of it, it said kingdom perspective. You know, the world sees things so much different than we do. So much different. So, the world likes to judge. Sometimes a worldly perspective can creep into the church. Y'all see that? A worldly perspective can try to creep into the church. Have y'all ever heard the phrase, delayed obedience is disobedience? That might be true sometimes. The Lord showed me it wasn't true in one particular case. You know, I told y'all I was really busy at a point, and this was during the height of how busy I was. I mean, I was working 60, 70 hours a week sometimes. And I drive by this location. It was in my routes up on 144. And I drive by this business and, you know, I felt a little, "You need to go in there." "Yeah, I'll tell you. You need to go in there." And I look up and I said, "Yeah, right, Lord, in all my spare time." "You're sarcastic with the Lord." Well, you know, I talk to the Lord and he talks back to me like I talk sometimes, right? And I'm just like, "Lord, what do you really want me to do? How am I going to do this? I'm already so busy." So I keep going. Goes on for 6 months. Little prompting. Every time I drive by this business. 6 months. How many know God has a still small voice where he speaks to you? How many know that he has a attention getting stop you in your tracks loud voice? Y'all ever heard that? That's usually when we're being bad, isn't it? And so it happened. And I went in this business, 6 months after I'd felt these little promptings. And I go in there. And there's a front desk right here, and a lady sitting at it. And I do what I always do. I carried my card in there. I said, Y'all have current vending? And are you happy with it? That woman's jaw hit the floor and her eyes got this big around. It was 10 seconds before she said anything. That's a long time when somebody's sitting there staring at you. And she says, 2 hours ago, my boss fired our vending company that we'd had for 20 years. Think about that. Think about that. And she said, he's in a meeting. I'll have him call you. It'll be a couple hours. It's like 8 minutes I was driving down the road and he called. And he told me the reasons he fired the other company and that kind of stuff. But think about that. What would have happened if I'd have went in there 1 week earlier? They'd had this company for 20 years. They had no inkling till this particular fallout happened with that company, like a day before I went in there. So think about that. Was that delayed obedience? Or did God know exactly what it was going to take to get me to finally do it? He started preparing me ahead of time, didn't he? Does he know us that good? Does he know us that good? The world sees delayed obedience as disobedience. I see that as God's perfect timing. He knew what it was going to take. And he did it, right? If he had had to do it earlier, he'd have yelled at me earlier because I listen when he gets loud with me. Where the world sees a chance to judge, you know, to say, oh, you should have done that, sir. You know, it's weird how the world just likes to find fault. Have you noticed that? Sometimes the world just likes to find fault. Makes them feel better about themselves, I think. I'm in this particular stop one day, a vending stop up in Fort Worth. It's a trailer dealership, big place, a lot of employees. I have three big machines sitting out in this shop, parts counter over here, and I'm filling away. It takes me a while in this place. Guy comes up to me, so are these your machines? You know, happens all the time. People are interested in the vending business. I mean, TikTok tells you you can make $1 million in a day, so why not, right? It's not quite that easy, I'll warn you. But there's misconceptions about the vending business, so people are curious. And they come up to me often, and this person happened to come up to me. He asked me first, you know, are these your machines? Yes. And he'd go away, and then he'd come back. Well, how many of these you got? And then he'd go away, and then he'd come back. And finally he says, how many of these have you ran today? I said, well, this is my third stop. It was about noon. He says, you should have 7 or 8 done by now. How does he know? He's never been in the vending business. You know, at that time, I had about 75 locations. Some take 15 minutes, and I have several still that take half a day. So how would he have any idea? He was just running his mouth about something he knew absolutely nothing about. Do worldly people do that on occasion? Do Christians do? We can do it too, can't we? Where the world sees a chance to judge, a kingdom perspective sees grace, mercy, love, forgiveness, just like it was shown to us, right? Let's do something. I'm just going to ask you all to repeat after me, and it's a scripture. It's not something I invented. Psalm 25:5. Lead me in your truth and teach me, Lord. For you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. Is it important to wait on Him, to wait on His guidance, His direction? You know what the world calls karma? Y'all ever heard that term? What goes around comes around, karma. We call the law of sowing and reaping, right? You know, social media, the world sees as a chance to connect with your family and friends, to voice your opinion, a kingdom perspective sees a chance to spread the word of God. You know, a worldly perspective says only priests and pastors serve God. A kingdom perspective looks at Ephesians 4 and said all saints are called to do the work of the ministry. Amen? A worldly perspective sees change as, oh no, dreaded change. I like it the way it was. A kingdom perspective sees a new season and hope for the future. Amen? The Lord's calling me in to do something new. The world sees Mother Nature. We see God the Creator, right? I'm going to ask one question first. We're talking here about hearing His voice. We're talking about following Him. We're talking about learning how to see things as He wants us to see them. How to see things as God does instead of the way the world does. If you're getting this, if you're seeing how God's Word in your life works, and you're ready to commit to Him to grow further in that, stand up right now where you are, just to acknowledge that. Heavenly Father, I thank You for these with a heart towards You. I thank You for these who have received this message and want to walk further in it and get closer to You today, Lord. I know that You're there to help them in every step of the way. In Jesus' name, amen. This is my story.